I said, to praise the Lord yourself. But tonight, kind of funny, we're going to speak on praising the Lord. Psalm chapter 149 tonight. You'll have to forgive my voice. My mouth is really dry. I'm not sure what's causing that. But I thank God for good water. Amen. Psalm 149. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I ask you now as we come to you, Lord, you know our hearts. Tonight, I ask you, Lord, to be with those that are on our hearts tonight. Lord, you know what I'm talking about. And many, many here, Lord, have prayer requests. And Lord, I just ask you now to, Lord, heal the broken heart tonight, Lord, and become real in the lives of family members that need you most right now. God, I pray, Lord, that you'll, Lord, assure them, Lord, that they're all you need. And Lord, I ask you now to just be with us tonight. Meet with us in a mighty way. Thank you so much for this church, Lord. In the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this place tonight, Lord, as many have prepared to give their praise and their testimonies of your good grace tonight. God, I just pray, Lord, they won't hold back. Lord, we don't want to be on no time frame. We just want to honor and uplift you, as we're going to learn here in just a minute. You really do love and cherish. And Lord, it empowers us when we praise you, and I thank you for that. Lord, bless us now. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit tonight. And Lord, may everything we do honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We've been talking about the armor of God. And tonight I want to talk about this weapon that we have as Christians, this weapon of praise. Praise is indeed a weapon that we do have, but don't often use. In Psalm 149, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a what? New song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be what? Joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the trembling heart. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his what? He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 tonight. I want to show you the power in praise tonight. The power that we have that we're missing out on oftentimes because we just do not acknowledge that God is the very reason that we are where we are today. God is in control of everything and every good thing and every perfect gift that cometh down from the Father of lights. It's very important that we magnify him because of what he has done for us. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse number 20 through 25 says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army. Watch this. They went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Folks, I'd say that each and every one of us have been at a point in time where we should just stop and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. You've been in some dark spots before. Say amen. You've been in some deep, dark spots that you think, I don't know what I'm going to do. There's nothing really you can do, amen, except for trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Hey, I'm thankful that I can say tonight, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. His mercy's endured in my life so many times. And can I say this? Not one time have I ever been deserving of it. Not one time have you or I ever been deserving of how good God has been to us. But praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Don't miss this. In verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Amnon. Are you seeing? Who did this? The Lord did. Was it when they began to praise that the people gained power? Oh no. When they began to praise God, the Lord said, hey, those are my people. They're praising my name. Let me just show them who they're praising. Let me just show them how powerful I really am. Let me just show them who the God of heaven really is. Look what he did. He set ambushments against the children of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Let me tell you something. The best thing you can ever do in your time of trouble, in your time of war, when everyone's rising up against you, is find something to praise God about. Don't use the opportunity to glorify and lift up the devil for all the bad things that are going on. Listen, find something to be thankful for, and God's going to hear you, and he's going to strengthen you, and he's going to take care of your enemies right before your eyes. But you've got to find something to be thankful for. You cannot focus on the negative. Look what he did. Verse 23. For the children of Amnon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Look at this. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Hey, God said, hey, you want to mess with my people who are willing to give praise to me? Let me just show you who I really am. Amen. Listen, he didn't spare any of them. Why? Because they were praising God in their time of trouble. Look at this, verse 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance, both in riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off of themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in the gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Folks, do you see what God can do for a thankful individual? Do you see what God is willing and able to do for a man, woman, boy, or girl who is honest enough, and can I say humble enough, to just say, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. There's been times in my life where I thought, I do not know what I'm going to do. I mean, honestly, let's just be real. I don't know what I'm going to do. And can I say, listen, folks, that's right where God wants you to be. When you get to the point of you don't know what you can do, you're not trying to figure out what to do, you're not trying to contemplate with somebody else what to do, you get on your knees before God and say, God, I'm broken. I can't think of any reasonable thing to do in this situation except praise you for this trial. And I know the devil's throwing the fiery darts in this trial, but here's what I want to do. I just want to praise you for the trial, and I want to praise you for whatever you're trying to show me, and I want to praise you for the outcome. Amen. Listen, try it, folks, and you'll see just how big your God is. Psalms 22:3 states, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. The enemy does not like our praise. He does not like it when we rejoice in the Lord always. I like that song, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Listen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Hey folks, I wonder if that's you and me tonight. Or are we constantly, I'm worrying again tonight. I'm worrying again tonight. I can't sleep at night because I can't stop thinking about all these bad things. God's not big enough to help me. I do not trust in him. Hey, you know that's the sad song of many Christians? Let me tell you something. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And here's the thing. God's mercy is not based on your situation. Y'all all right? Your situation is no different than the next person's situation. It might be physically different, but to God, it's just another situation. It's just another trial where he's trying to gain some praise from his people. We have no problem praising him when things are good. But I love to go back and listen to preachers tell stories that'll bring tears to your eyes. Preachers about when they're on their missionary journeys and they're being captured. And I've told you the stories about the missionary who was in the country, and they told him, you've got to stop preaching the gospel. You've got to take that elsewhere. We do not want what you have. And then he said, I'm not going to stop preaching the gospel. They captured him. They tortured him almost to death. And they said, okay, listen, we know where your wife and kids are. We're going to give you a choice. You're going to stop preaching the gospel, or we're going to go capture your wife and kids. They capture his little girls. And his little girl is singing to the top of her lungs, oh, Lord, my God. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? She's praising the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. And as she's singing in the cell next to him, they say, sir, we're going to give you one more time to praise or to stop praising the Lord, to just renounce everything you're doing. Get out of here. And the little girl's singing loud. And they said, sir, we are going to physically cut your daughter's tongue out of her head if you do not renounce Jesus and stop doing what you're doing. And that little girl started singing louder, and she started singing louder. And man, they grabbed her up and they brought her in there with her daddy. And she looked at her daddy and she said, don't you ever renounce Jesus. The Lord is good always. And she sang and she sang and she sang until they took her tongue out of her head. And the next little girl came in, and she's looking at her dad, and they say, sir, I don't know how we're going to break you, but we've already taken your daughter's tongue. She can't sing no more. We shut her up. But hey, can I say she still had a song in her heart? Hey, man, listen, the next little girl came in, and she's a beautiful little girl, and she's looking around, and they said, sir, how could you look on such a beautiful young lady and not renounce Jesus, knowing that we're about to literally pluck the eyeballs right out of your daughter's head, right in front of you? Folks, I'm not making this up. Listen, she said, daddy, don't you dare renounce Jesus. The Lord is good. Praise you, the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Hey, any of you ever had a trial like this? Guess what? They plucked her eyes out, and she had a song in her heart. And listen, today they're still serving. He's still serving on the field with both of his daughters that were tortured that day. He's still serving. They decided they can't break him. And guess what he's still doing? He's still preaching the gospel. He's still preaching the good news that Jesus Christ is good. None of us have ever had to go through that. We live in America. We are spoiled. No one's going to come in red level and do that to you and me. They're just simply not. Hey, we live in a town. I'll tell you, it's different just from here and just about an hour and a half north of here. An hour and a half north, we go out door knocking, and man, most of the time they'd be like, hey, don't step on my yard. You know what I'm talking about? Care more about their grass than they do anything. Why are you stepping on my yard? We don't care what you got to deal with here. Here, you go knock on somebody's door, they're going to have you some sweet tea. If it's hot outside, they're bringing you inside. They don't care. Sit down. Stay a while. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we live in a pretty good place. I'm just saying, it ain't like that everywhere. We don't have people threatening us and threatening our kids because of what we believe. But here's what we do. We take it for granted because we don't have that. We don't appreciate God like this missionary I just told you about appreciates God. Many of us would have said, don't touch my daughter. I'll renounce Jesus. I'll be the betrayer. I'll be the denier. I'll be the cruel people. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I bet you today he's thankful that he didn't renounce his God. Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. The enemy does not like our praise. He does not like it when we rejoice in the Lord always. As Philippians 4:4 states and 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. The heart of the believer that is full of praises of God is a heart that has extra protection, and the presence of God is manifested. The enemy despises the praises of God. Now, I want to put that out there. Now, I want to put out that there is praise and then there are high praises. High praise is the highest expression of praise. It is not just lip praise, but heart praise. The enemy will flee from the sound of praise. How many of you ever been riding in your car and you got a good song on, or you're listening to some preaching? And I'm talking about by yourself. Nobody else is with you. And you can't help it, but overwhelming joy just comes over you and just tears start flowing down your face. You ever think, why is that? Let me tell you what that is. That's the presence of God, oh, surreal, in your life. And you cherish that moment. And then I've been there, and then in a couple miles later, it'll be like back to reality. You know what I'm saying? Listen, some of the best times I've ever had with the Lord didn't happen in church. Now, I've had some good times with the presence of God in church. But I've had some real good times sitting in a loader plowing 3 foot of snow at 3 o'clock in the morning listening to some preaching. Y'all hear me? Some real good times. I've had to pull over and wipe my eyes when I hear preachers and I hear singers just thinking about, thank you, dear Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, God, for your mercy that endures forever. You know, why do we have to be such a hard-hearted people? Why do we have to think that God does not deserve our praise? The reality is, you don't deserve what God offered you. He deserves everything. But what comes with praise? Well, first you got to have submission. James 4:7 states, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Earlier we learned in developing a warfare mentality, we find the importance of our submission. As we submit ourselves to God, we become stronger to fight against the enemy. If there's an area of our lives that is not submitted to God, the enemy will discover it and will be a weak point that he will continually shoot his arrows at. But a vessel, you think about, what do you mean there? Well, how many know? I'm sure if we were to go around the room and I'd say, hey, do you have a certain sin that you struggle with? Every single one of you, if you were honest, would say, yes, sir, I do. Hey, I do. And here's the deal. You might have 99.9% of the sin out of your life, but that one little thing that keeps coming back up over and over and over again, you know what that is? That's the area of your life that you have not submitted to God. That's the area of your life that you have not given up and let God have control over and gain victory in your life. And you often wonder why the devil picks on you in that area, because he knows you. He knows who you are. He knows how you think. He knows what you're thinking about. He knows your weakness. But good news is, we have power over that. Amen? We don't have to lose. In the end, we win. But look, you've got to submit to God. If there's an area in our life that is not submitted to God, the enemy will discover it, and it will be a weak point that we'll continually shoot arrows at. But a vessel of God, a young man or woman that is submitted to God, is a stronghold against Satan. Hey, I'd rather be a stronghold against Satan than a big old target that just gets keeping beat up. Amen? I don't know about you. But number two, what about resisting? Well, to resist means to adamantly oppose. It means to fall against or upon, to forbid or to hinder. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Again, James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You'll never resist without submission, though. Amen? You'll never resist without first submitting to God. And what about standing? Ephesians 6:11 through 14 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. We've been here the last few Sunday nights, to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against what, church? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Through prayer, we are able to stand. The Roman soldier had some of the best armor that existed and had the best training. If his armor was fitted correctly, his helmet tightly strapped to his head, his shield in place, and his sword in hand, there were few foes that could defeat him. Very few. When the enemy came, the Roman soldier knew to hold and stand his ground. He didn't even give it a second thought. His training prepared him to stand and to do what he was supposed to do, that is, defeat the one who attacked him. He could stand with confidence, knowing that he had the best equipment and was physically ready for combat. It is little wonder that the Roman Empire spread so far and wide. Hey, folks, can I tell you something? You can stand with confidence knowing that you have the armor equipped for you. In this day and age, what is it? It's the Bible. You've got to stand firm and stand strong and have confidence in Jesus Christ. To stand means to not give up ground. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Neither give place to the devil." There's no doubt that the enemy of our souls will attempt to find opportunity to attack, tempt, discourage, accuse, and thereby defeat us. I wonder how many of you went all week last week never attacked by the devil. Anybody? I mean, was anybody in here not tempted this past week? The devil didn't even bother me. Let me tell you something. He ain't going to bother you if you're on his team. Y'all hear me? You better be careful and watch your pride before you trip up. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Hey, the devil ought to be tempting you always. Why? Because you are fully submitted to God. He ought to be seeking every opportunity he can to bring you down. And by the way, he is. Evil forces can be found everywhere. It is useless to have strong armor without if we are weak within. We must experience the divine strengthening as well as putting on of the divine armor. The word stand means to stand erect, to be set in place and unmovable. One of the greatest weapons is to set on truth, unmovable when it comes to our convictions, to stand without shame. Listen, you know, convictions are something that comes from God. Everybody okay with that? People ask questions all the time. I mean, I don't want to get into like personal things because I don't believe in preaching my personal convictions to you. I believe in preaching biblical standards to you. But let me just say, you might have a conviction for your family that I might not have for my family. And I might have one for my family that you might have for your family. But let me tell you something. If God gave you that conviction, you better stand strong on your conviction. And don't let the world tell you to go back on what God has told you to do. Because it doesn't please them. It doesn't matter. Listen, friendship with the world, the last time I read in my King James Bible says, enmity with God. Root word, enemy. God's enemy. You want to be friends with the world? Go ahead and be God's enemy if you want to. Listen, if God's given you some convictions, you better stand strong and stand proud that God has given you some convictions. Because here's the deal. God might convict me of something that I should not do because I struggle with it. Or if I dabble in that, it might get worse. You may not struggle with the same things that I struggle with. Truth is, you probably do not. And I don't struggle with what you struggle with. But if God has given you some convictions, listen, stand strong on your godly convictions. And don't ever let anyone tell you they don't matter, because they do matter. I'm going to tell you something that a preacher told me. He said, "Drew, let me tell you something, son." This was before I came to pastor this church. He was one of the preachers I reached out to. He was on my ordination. He called me son. He said, "Let me tell you something, son. What you're about to do is one of the greatest things a man has ever been called to do." He said, "But I'm going to give you some advice. I'm going to give you four words of advice, Brother Drew. Take this with you to your grave." He said, "Compromise has no end." He said, "Compromise has no end." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You know, God's given us standards and convictions to live by. And the moment we compromise one of them because of something someone says," y'all listening? "I'm never going to make everybody happy. And I know that there's probably, I hope this doesn't happen, but I know there's going to be times where you're going to be so upset at me, you're not going to want to come to me, and you're going to go talk to someone else about me and make them mad at me too. But listen, if it's a godly standard and a biblical conviction and a biblical standard that I'm preaching to you that upsets you, listen, you don't need to be upset with me." Folks, there's been plenty of messages that I've sat in my life where I'm thinking, why in the world is this preacher preaching on this? And 9 times out of 10, here's what I found, Brother Scott. It offended me because I was in sin. Y'all all right? Nobody likes to be told what to do. But I'm here to tell you, I told you this before you guys voted. I'm not ever going to compromise on that Bible right there. And it doesn't start with the Bible. Did you guys know that? It starts with little things. Starts with little things like losing the convictions that God has given me. A lot of people ask me, why do you wear a tie all the time? Well, to be honest with you, I like wearing ties. I've been wearing a tie my whole life. It's just something I enjoy doing. And Brother Drew, don't you think you could just like put on a pair of jeans and some tennis shoes? I said, no. Let me tell you. I wouldn't sit under a preacher that didn't hold himself to a standard higher than that. Y'all all right? I ain't going down that road. Because pretty soon I'll be up here in short shorts and flip-flops. And blue lights and purple lights. Y'all all right? Hey, compromise has no what? End. And pretty soon I'll be reading an NIV Bible that isn't even the complete Word of God. And I'll be lying to you. Hey, I just assume go with God. Now let me just give you some advice. This don't make me spiritual. This don't make me spiritual. It does not. But it's a conviction of mine. And I'm not looking down at you if you don't wear one. And you don't look down at me because I do. Y'all okay? Look, I'm just saying, I just want to do what God has asked me to do. I don't ever want to disappoint my Savior. I don't ever want to compromise in the little things. Read your Old Testament. Kings would compromise in little things, and pretty soon the whole nation would become crumbling down. Read the book of Judges. You want to read a good story? Read the book of Judges. Every single time a leader would listen to the people instead of, you know, the Bible says we ought to obey God rather than what? Man, y'all all right? Look, I realize that that this ministry is good and it's God-given and it's God-breathed and it needs to all be about God. But listen, folks, there's going to be times where I'm probably going to do something that's going to upset you. But can I say this? I can handle it if you come to me. Y'all listening? It would be better for you, by the way. You better read your Bibles. Those of you who don't think you can come talk to the source, you'd rather go behind the preacher's back and stir strife. You know, the Bible forbids rendering strife. Y'all all right? He forbids that. Have some character. Go to the source. Take care of the problem. Listen, it's preached like this. What you're doing is making a mountain out of a molehill. Oftentimes, things can be settled if you would just come. And I promise you, I'm the nicest guy that you'll ever meet. I don't get mad at people. You might not like what I have to say back to you. And I'm not going to say you always are gonna. And I might not like what you're saying. But I would rather us settle something the biblical way. I mean, what does the book say? If you have aught with someone, what's the biblical principle? Go to them. Is that right? And if they don't want to listen, what's the next step? Well, then grab someone else and go back to them. And then if they don't listen, then we got to address it with the whole body. But listen, most problems can be handled if we would just address them right and trust the Lord in them. We don't need to be selfish in our thinking. We must have conviction without shame. To do that, one must be standing with a pure conscience. This armor is not some antique suit that we are to look at, but it is something that we must put on and put in use on a daily basis. It is not like any other armor that has been improved upon. It is the best and cannot be improved upon. We are not to spend time talking about it, admiring it, but we are to suit up and engage in battle. Folks, armor is of no use until it is put on and the battle has begun. Amen. Charles Wesley captured these words of truth, and he wrote, "Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son, strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus' trust is more than conqueror. Stand then in his great might with all his strength endured, and take to arm you for the fight the armor of God. Leave no unregarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole, that having all things done and all your conflicts past, you may overcome through Christ alone and stand complete at last." Folks, listen, we're going to kill that live stream. I'm going to pray, and we're going to give you an opportunity to just praise the Lord tonight. I trust that some of you, hopefully all of you, have came with something. And don't let me guilt you into it. Listen, I understand if you don't like talking in front of people. I get that. God's not going to judge you for that, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you so much for just a time, Lord, that we're able to offer up our praise back to you. Now, Lord, as we go in these next few minutes, Lord, I don't know how long it's going to take, and it don't really matter to me, God, but I just want you to be pleased with New Hope Independent Baptist Church. At the end of the day, I want our testimony to be that we're praising the Lord and we're a testimony of people. Praise you, the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Thank you so much, God, for being real to us. Lord, we love you tonight in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right.